But first, the Michigan High School Athletic Association has given the green light for some fall sports to get underway. Golf, tennis, and cross country can begin competition August 19th and 21st. Now, as for sports like football, volleyball, and soccer, there's no decision yet. Administrators don't expect that they'll act until at least August 20th. If the experience of older athletes offer any guide to what high school play is going to look like, it's going to be an interesting season. With us to talk sports is writer and sometimes coach John U. Bacon. He is Michigan Radio sports commentator. John, it's good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear yours, April.
So this week, the entire Michigan State football team went into 14-day quarantine. We've got two staffers and one athlete at minimum testing positive. We're here. This is the end of July, right? The time when everybody said that college sports were going to make their big decisions, especially football, about what was supposed to happen. It's not looking good, is it?
Not for July 29th, July 30th, and so on, end of July. Rutgers University, as you also know, of course, is also quarantined. So there's two of the 14 teams in the Big Ten, and we have not even really started. So not promising.
Some football players have been making it known they think that the NCAA is not ready to pull the trigger on doing what's right. What is right at this point?
Hard to say. The problem with the whole thing, almost every aspect of American society is, you know, the schools, the businesses, of course, now college and high school athletics, is, you know, William Goldman, the old Princess Bride writer. Nobody knows anything. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here. It's all Wild West. We have insufficient data in almost all fronts. We're all essentially guessing. Even the smarter folks than I certainly are guessing as well. So it's hard to say, but I can say unequivocally that the NCAA has left a vacuum of leadership. Mark Emmert, who makes $2 million a year to run a nonprofit of unpaid athletes, so right there, as you can imagine, I have an issue, who also has a full-time makeup and hair man, apparently, to handle his TV appearances, has gone AWOL and left, you know, the asylum to be run by the inmates, in this case, commissioners of Big Ten and Big 12 conferences and so on. And with no national policies, no national leadership whatsoever, this is a national issue and cannot be resolved, I don't think, regionally. So the players are right about that, that the NCAA has provided no guidance whatsoever.
Last time we talked, we were kicking around whether it might be easier to maintain college sports than pro. And I remember somebody saying something about how pro athletes being paid employees would have more motivation to abide by the rules. So, John, about the Marlins. Miami's baseball team had one COVID positive player. The team played the Phillies on Sunday anyway, and now there are, I believe, we're up to 17 positive cases.
Right. Yeah, in other words, more than half your team. So basically your team. So their season has been suspended for a week, and how you make that up in a 60-game schedule, which is 100 games less than usual, fewer, that is not at all clear. To be clear, they've got incentives to play. They've got incentives not to play. What they can do is make a rational decision as adults based on money alone. A college kid can't do that because they're officially, of course, not employees, but student athletes. So you can't quarantine them necessarily against their wishes, all kinds of other stuff. So it's far more complicated in college than in the pros, and the pros are already screwing it up. So this is also not promising.
Yeah, rational decisions. CNN was reporting that the Marlins knew that their pitcher, Jose Urena, had tested positive and decided on a group chat not to do the game. I mean, is this the decision tree we should expect from multi-million dollar business franchises?
That's a great point. And yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, asking the passengers on a plane to vote to land the plane with, you know, two wheels or not. That's not usually how a democracy works in this case. We have to have better leadership than that. Stronger policies. Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, has not done a great job. So again, baseball is infinitely easier to operate with COVID than football and certainly college football. And again, not promising.
Yeah. One NFL general manager told Yahoo Sports that there was no way that he would consider playing with an infection on his team. And, you know, the NFL is one of the many leagues that was kind of watching the baseball experience for maybe lessons to learn. Can we assume that everyone is now on the same page at this point about whether or not you should play if someone on your team is tested positive for COVID?
Sadly, we can never assume that, and we've proven that every time you walk into a Walmart and you see people without masks. So,
yeah.
If the one thing the United States is not right now, it's on the same page of anything. Now, I think some GMs get it. I'm equally certain, a la, you know, the guy playing sick with the Marlins, that some guys will see a chance, especially if you're in the running at the end of this shortened season. Your star pitcher tests positive but is asymptomatic. Do you play that guy or not? These are the same guys who took steroids. So I don't think their threshold for weighing cost-benefit analysis is to be modeled, basically. So some are going to get it. I hope most of them do, but there's no way all of them will.
How do you think Michigan's Big Four pro franchises stand in terms of their financial health to possibly weather another, I guess, at best, suspended season?
Well, I'd say good news for Michigan sports fans that they are probably four of the healthiest franchises around, despite the fact that last year they set the record, April, for the most losses of four major league teams in any year in the history of sports. So
that's
win losses, not healthy. Financially, very healthy, and all run by three families that are very dedicated to Detroit, who never threatened to move the team. So I would say Detroit is far more stable than most.
You know, I wonder if this is a predictor of the challenges ahead of us in terms of keeping schools and businesses open. Is sports once again leading?
Yes, sadly. My phrase in my class, which I teach at the University of Michigan on the history of college athletics, is sports do not exist in a vacuum. I said that before I knew about this, but that has been proven true in spades. And we see what? That if, you know, the society around you is not ready to handle this based on the numbers, the quarantine policies, the availability of ICU beds and so on, that you're probably going to start out and then pull back. And it's not hard to imagine the schools and other institutions trying to open up and having to retreat just as fast. So as I've said throughout this process, and I know you agree with this, I sure hope I'm wrong. But so far, that's the way it's playing out.
Driving around, I've seen high schoolers practicing, getting ready for fall. Do you see high school sports programs making any key decisions right now about whether or not they're going to go ahead and play?
The Michigan High School Athletic Association has made the decision to go ahead so far. Now, that might be reviewed in August, which strikes me as crazy, frankly. And like the NCAA, I'm seeing questionable leadership here. When the Grand Valley School System has just announced this week that they're going to be virtual for the first 9 weeks, how can you ask high school football players and tennis players and so on to take risks that the students themselves are not taking? And the Michigan High School Athletic Association made that decision by Zoom. They were not willing to meet in person to tell high school teams, go ahead and practice in person. This strikes me as hypocritical.
You've coached your share of high school hockey, I know. I mean, do you think it would be possible to hold athletic team meetings and practices, but just eliminate travel and competition? Maybe just break it down to the health and socialization aspects of this for the kids who play.
I think that's a wonderful idea. I don't know if it still solves the COVID problem, but it solves some other problems. And that is that the whole sports complex, and keep in mind I make my living doing this, I've coached high school hockey, played it. And, you know, I write books about this stuff. And yet the whole thing has been overheated. I've been saying this for almost a decade. I think we'd be doing well to scale back travel teams, to scale back much of what exists in high school sports, to scale back certainly the insanity, which I now see in the college ranks, where you play half your games off campus before you play at home. I think that the IM sports model, the club sports model, is not a bad one. And as Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, said, never waste a good crisis. We have a crisis here that's far bigger than sports. We have a chance here to change some things that should be changed anyway, and a chance we probably will not have going forward. So I hope that we take this opportunity to add some sanity to all that we do and reconsider why we're doing this. Exactly what you said. The health and socialization aspects are really the benefits here, not the competition.
Everything is so exhausting right now. Work, parenting, just being out, going to the grocery store. Is any of this striving for a season hope against hope? Is any of this worth it?
Well, in some ways, it's both sides of that equation. One, it's all too much, and you know, trying to run a practice with masks on and so on and so forth, that's exhausting, more exhausting than normal. The flip side is the need to have some kind of release, and also to do something together. One thing great about college football, for example, is when you cross that threshold at Ohio State or Michigan State, we don't care about your politics, your age, your gender, any of this stuff. If you know when to stick your fist in the air on Hail, you're okay. You're in. And as Ken Burns often said, we have too much pluribus and not enough unum, too much many and not enough one. And that's one thing great that sports does for us that we're missing now as well. So it's all exhausting. We could use some unum, and we're not going to get it, I don't think, this summer or fall.
John U. Bacon is the author of many books, including End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football, and he is Michigan Radio's sports commentator. John, thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you, April.